Let's open our Bibles this morning to our foundation scriptures that I began with yesterday. And let's tie in some things this morning. Glory be to God. That is 1 Timothy chapter 6, 1 Peter chapter 5, and Mark chapter 11. 1 Timothy chapter 6, Mark chapter, 1 Peter chapter 5, and Mark chapter 11. First Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. It says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. Tell neighbor, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. Now, notice it says, lay hold unto eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. We are called to lay hold on eternal life. But in laying hold, it says you have to fight. In laying hold, it says you ought to what? You have to fight. But thank God, it's a good fight. And it's a fight of faith. Someone says it's a good fight. Now, when you know that you are in for a good fight, you are not afraid going into it. Amen? When you know you are in for a good fight, when you know that the person you are going to meet is way below you, barring any surprises, this is a done deal. You don't have any qualms about going into such a fight, do you? No, you don't. But what I wanted us to see, and I saw yesterday, is this, that it is a fight of faith. It is a fight of faith. And it needs to be registered to us that all that the devil is interested in whatever it is that he brings your way, it is your faith. Can I submit to us? A believer who does not have an active faith in God, a believer who does not have an active faith in God is a believer that the devil does not give much attention to. In other words, you can come to church all you want, play religion all you want, but your faith in God, your active, please note that what I said, your active faith and trust in God is not something that, is just dormant. It's lying there fallow. It's not doing anything, so to speak. Such a believer, the devil has got you where he wants you. That is why this thing, you have to keep it ongoing. In other words, even when it looks as if there is nothing you need to put your faith out there for, you consciously put your faith out there. Consciously. So that there is something ongoing that your faith is working on. Actually, anyway, for me, is there something your faith is working on right now? So let's continue reading so that I can get to where we stopped last night and I'll take you off from there. First Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Whom resist steadfast, what? In the faith. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. I heard somebody say this. He said there is a suffering of resisting. Do you know that? And this is why I personally I believe in, you know, confession on a regular basis. Because there is a devil that is going about seeking whom he would devour. So I don't have to wait until something happens before I begin to speak my faith. I don't have to wait till I feel a symptom on my body before I begin to make confession, you know, about my healing or my wholeness. I don't have to wait until there is a need in my life, financial need in my life, before I confess my God supplies all my needs according to his riches in glory. Because there is an enemy that is going about. So what that confession does, what this confession does, this regular ongoing confession does, is that it's a way of resisting that, yes, you may be going about, but I'm not available. Someone said this with me. Satan, you may be going about, but I'm not available. Yeah. I'm not available. I'm not available for your taking. I'm not available for your picking. I am not available. My family is not available. My household is not available. My wife is not available. My children are not available. My job is not available. My business is not available. My church is not available. The church members are not available. I am not available. I'm not available. Amen. Not. You see, just like I said yesterday, if it is not that there is a mountain before you trying to hinder your progress, there is an enemy going around trying to devour. And wherein you may see the mountain that is before you, you may not know, you may be oblivious about the enemy going about. And so you need to constantly put your faith in place, put up the shield of faith, so that this person that is going about, when he comes around your neighborhood, he sees that, this is not available. This person is not available. Amen. Is not available. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. And then of course Mark 11, 23, 20, 22, 23, where Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. For whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. So the faith life, living by faith, is a life that, you know, has, invites adversity, is attractive to the enemy to say, I want to go there and test this person. Are you listening to what I'm saying? It is. So when it happens, you should not be surprised. Not if it happens. When things come. And you know what? And let me drop this in before I go to where we stopped off last night. Anything that comes your way, anything, and I mean anything and everything that comes your way, guess what? If you hold to the truth of the scripture, you are well and able to overcome it. There is stuff in you. There is a potential. There is what you've got, what it takes. And someone said, well, if I've got, well, how come it overcame me? Because you fail to realize you have what it takes. You know what? Because we have a good father who will not allow you to be tempted more than you are able. That's what the scripture says. Is that not so? So if I have a good father who will not allow me to be tempted more than I'm able, if anything comes my way, then the first thing that should hit me is that I am able. Not in myself, not in my power, but in Christ Jesus, I am able. And so if I look to that, I will realize what? I am able. And I will overcome it. Hallelujah. So let's come to where we stopped last night. I dropped in James chapter 1, but I will let it be. I will come back to that James chapter 1. I was talking about Jesus in Hebrews chapter 12. And the reason why, because it's a perfect example. He's the one that was used to cap up the story about the heroes of faith. Even though he's the number one hero, but the scriptures made us to go through men of like passions like you and I to see that, you know, this by faith they did this, by faith they did this, by faith they went through this, by faith they went through that, by faith they did this. And then he capped it up with Jesus. And it is important that he capped it up with Jesus. Because we need to understand that everything that we go through, everything, and I mean everything, for Jesus to be qualified to be our Savior, he had to go through everything. The Bible says he was tempted in how many points? All points as we are. In other words, he was tempted in all areas of life as we are. So if we have that understanding that he went through everything as we are, then the Bible says that is why it can be, you know, our high priest. Because he will be touched with what? The feeling of our infirmities. Every one of it. Every one. Listen to me. Why do we have believers? And listen, if you look at the generation we are in, you have a lot of us believers who are capitulating when it comes to staying on God's word and holding on to it truly to the end. And say, well, because we all do say, this thing doesn't work. And this is why I believe the Spirit of God will have me share this in this conference. So that you can understand. And by the time I'm through, you will understand. Because, you know, through the night, I was made to see more things in along this line. Now, so let's go to this Hebrews chapter 12. Let's look at Jesus. Let's see something there. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's speak it from verse 1. Hebrews in chapter 12. Can I be assisted? Technical. Hebrews 12. Okay, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now watch this now. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of what? Of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. After all said and done, he said, let's look to Jesus. Why should we look to him? He is the author and the finisher of our faith. In other words, he's the beginner and the ending of our faith, or is the beginner and the perfecter of our faith, or you can put it this way, is an example of somebody who is just starting out in faith, and an example of somebody who is matured in faith. Let's look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So whether you are just at the beginning level, there is something in him about his faith that you can identify with. Or whether you consider yourself a matured person, there is something in him that you can look at and be take as an example in your walk of faith with him. Looking unto Jesus, the author. The Amplified Bible says, the one that gives the first incentive. Incentive to our faith, and the one also who what? Completes it. Who perfects it. He gives the first incentive, and he gives and he perfects it. Amen? Looking unto him. Now watch this. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Now, and then he says this in verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and what? Faint in your minds. For consider him. Now, if you are going to put somebody as an example of faith, let's talk this morning. If you are going to put somebody as an example of a faith person, do you suppose that's what you would do? This is what you write. Consider him. What are you doing there? This is tongues. He said, for consider him that endured what? Such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Now look at verse 4. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving what? Against sin. How is that an example of a faith life? I thought the person you want to put forward as an example of somebody who is living by faith, that he has good cars, he has a house, he has the blessings of this world. Are you here? But Jesus, being brought forward, is shown to us in his position as somebody who resisted. Give me that verse 4. It says, for you have not yet what? Resisted unto blood. Striving what? Now, what does sin represent? It represents the nature of the world, the nature of the devil. Is that not so? In other words, he's saying, you are not yet like him. In his example, as him being an example of a faith person to you, he resisted, he strove against sin. Many of us will never imagine that Jesus was striving against sin. You thought he was just coasting along. Is that not so? He was what? Coasting along. I don't think when we look at Jesus, we'll ever imagine that sin was coming and Jesus coming. Sin will just give way and it just keeps going on. But the Bible says he strove. Do you see that word? He strove against sin. That is the picture of a faith person. Because that word sin is not just sins, it's the nature. And I said to you that when you choose to live by faith, you live against the current. You live against the normal life. You live against, you have chosen to go against the current of life. The way life is going, everybody is going this way. But when you say, I'm going to live by faith, you are facing them and say, no, I'm not going to say, I'm swimming upstream. Everybody's going with the current, but I'm going to sweep upstream. I'm swimming against the current. And when you swim against the current, you'll be striving against the waters. Is that not so? And he brought that out to us as an example of the faith life. Because that's what it's all about. That's majorly part of it. Anybody that has chosen to live by faith, you are put on the battle gear. Are you listening to me? And I can tell you this. You can come to church and not live by faith. You can come to church and know what? Live by faith. You can be reading your Bible and not live by faith. Some say, what do you mean? How can I do that? How is it ever possible? Let me tell you something. Any true believer who reads the word of God, there is hope that will be created in you. Any true believer who is truly reading the word of God, there is hope that will be created, that will be birthed in you. Hope of a better life. That I can have something better than this. I can be somebody better than this. I can go somewhere better than this. I don't have to die in the same slum that my parents grew up in. No, I can have a better experience of life. Anyone that has given his or life to Christ and is reading the word of God will come to this place where there's a hope. Why did Jesus compare the person who reads the word of God and does it to the one who is building a house? Is it Matthew chapter 7? It says, you who reads my word and doeth them, I will liken him to one who is building a house and is founded what? On a rock. But the one who is not doing is still what? Building. Why? Because whoever you are, if you're truly reading this word of God, it bursts open you. Hope of a better life. Now, you can now choose to pursue that hope the way the world will pursue it or the way God will pursue it. And if you choose the way God will have you pursue it, you have to go it by faith. Why do I say so? Because Romans chapter 4 says, it is of faith that it might be by grace, that the promise might be what? Sure. Unto how many of the seed? All of the seed. But in all of this, it brings Jesus to you. And say, look at him. Look at him. Consider him. He said, so that you do not get weary and faint. Consider him. So that you do not what? Get weary and faint. Consider him. Daddy, he strove against him. He resisted. And then he says, but you have not yet resisted unto blood. So, guess what? Until you are resisting and living by faith, until and blood is coming out, don't give up yet. Don't give up yet. Until you get, don't, you are still nowhere yet, because it says, consider him. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against the nature of sin, striving against the current of sin, striving against the normal life. You have not yet resisted. So consider him. Consider him. Tell a neighbor for me, consider him. You see, my brother, my sister, and someone say, well, does it mean that all my life I will be fighting one thing or the other? They say different levels bring different devils. Amen. Somebody went to Brother Egan and said, can you pray for me that I will not have any more trouble in life? And Brother Egan said, are you ready to die? So that, let's pray that you die so that you will not have any more troubles in life. Yes, you know, there will be situations. But by the time you walk this life of faith and walk it, it will look as if when even some things come, they don't really matter. Because even though you are striving, you are at rest. You know, it's just like the way planes function. When the first taking off, they are striving against gravity. Are you here? Striving against gravity. But there's a law of lift that is helping it to go. But that's why even if you're in some of these smaller planes, it's like the thing is rattling. And some people think it's going to fall apart. But then it gets to a place where, it goes beyond the clouds and it gets a cruising level. Am I right, Pastor Tito? And then at that place, even the pilot can come out of his cockpit and wave to you guys and say hello, because it puts on automatic. Are you here? But do you know that even at cruising level, sometimes they bump into clouds? So you might have mastered your faith work to the point that you are cruising with it. And there are some things that come that don't matter. There are some things that, there are some things that come. Listen to me. I don't know when last. I mean, sickness and disease. Visiting hospital is as far removed as. What does that mean? There are not other issues. There are. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So you cruise, but once in a while you bump into some clouds. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You bump into some clouds, and it will shake that plane. If they are heavy, if they are light, this plane can just go through it as though nothing. But there are some clouds it will go through. You will feel it. Are you listening to me? So there will be like that. So always there will be. And like I said at the beginning, even if there doesn't seem to be any, you put out your faith out there so that there is something your faith is working on. Rather than relapse, listen to me, people of God, listen carefully. And it's happening all around us. Our people are settling and say, well, it's not worth it. Let me just go on with my life. If I don't trouble the devil, won't trouble me. Like that song they used to sing, you know, Satan, leave me alone. I'm married to Jesus. He's not going to leave you alone. You can be married to Jesus for all you know. He's not leaving you alone. In fact, the more married you are, amen. Isn't that true? Is it not even happening in reality? Some ladies will see you. They come to you at you and say, listen, look at, I'm married. And they will say, and so what? Is it a new thing? Did I say I want to marry you? Is it not happening? It is. So he says, look to Jesus. I'm particularly all that, and seriously, I think it makes you to, that's why I say it makes you to see this faith work to me in a different light. So whatever it is happening, whatever is happening, I understand this is, it goes with the terrain. I'm not afraid of what's going to happen. Don't be afraid. It goes with the terrain. That's why God gave you his faith. Are you listening to me? So you need to know this. That this is what is happening with this thing we call faith in God. And anyone that names the name of the Lord, who takes on the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, must be ready to face whatever comes and understand this is part and parcel of the faith life. Oh my God. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter in chapter 4. We begin to read verse 12. First Peter in chapter 4. We're going to begin to read verse 12. Beloved, think it what? Not strange concerning what? Which is to try you. As though what? Some strange thing happened unto you. Beloved, I saw a translation says, when these trials of faith come, do not let it surprise you. Don't be surprised by it. That's what I was saying yesterday. As though something strange is happening. Don't be surprised by it. Oh, hallelujah. Let's continue reading. Don't be surprised by this trial. Look at what it says next. But what? But what? But what? Shout it.
Rejoice.
He said, but rejoice. Is that not what I said last night? He said, don't be surprised, but you will not be able to rejoice if what you your response is, oh, why me? Am I the only one? Oh, why me? And I ask, if not you, who else? It says, consider it not strange, but what? Rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's what? Sufferings, that when his glory shall be what? Revealed, you may be what? Also with what? Exceeding joy. Rejoice. Don't think it's strange. Don't be surprised by it. In fact, you should be surprised if you are not having any. Why do you need to hear what you are hearing? Because I believe, and I feel it, this is what I believe the Spirit of God wants me to share, what I'm sharing this conference. At the back of some people's mind, that I'm not living by faith means I'm not going to have any troubles. And if I have troubles, that means, you know, probably there's sin in my life. No. Because how many of you, I don't know about you, but the moment I was brought in contact with Brother Higgins' book, the moment that happened, the first thing was sickness. Came home from the campus having a fresh believer. And I was hit with this malaria. That malaria was demonic. It's not the normal mosquito malaria. It must be. I can't explain it. But I have just learned. Jesus took my infirmities, carried my pains. And I said, I'm going to test this thing out. Is that what I said? Every believer, when you read the word of God, it builds a hope in you. And if you're a true believer, you want to test it out. You want to walk it out. You want to live it out. And then my dear father comes. Bought this camo, you know, in those days, Camo Queen. How many of you remember Camo Queen? If you are old enough to remember Camo Queen, you are old. I'm putting it on my table in my room. He said, take that thing. And I had to tell my father, I'm sorry, sir, but I'm believing God for my healing. Jesus carried my infirmities. And he looked at me, said, I'm never, ever going to ask how you feel. And from that day till kingdom come, he never looked at me and said, how are you feeling, my son? But I stood my ground. I didn't know too much, but just to say that Lord has healed me. And I went through hell and high water with that. I couldn't sleep on the bed because it would grow so hot. I get on the floor, it would become so cold. But I came out of it knowing that Jesus heals. Are you understand what I'm saying? And then I got married. And doctor says, my wife cannot have a child. Are you listening? One thing after another. But what took us through? Because the moment you come in contact with this, your life is on a battle. It's in battlefront. And the devil wants you to know that, listen, I'll have you for supper. But like I said yesterday, that God put faith in you, is that means he gave you an ability to say no to the devil. I can say no to what the devil wants to do. I can say no to the attacks of the enemy. I can say no to his plan to devour me, to devour my family. I can say no. I don't have to lie down and accept anything that the enemy is throwing at me because of the faith of God that he has planted in my spirit. So he says, when these things come, don't be surprised, but rejoice. And if you're going to win over this thing, that's what you have to do. Even when you don't feel like doing it, that's what you have to do. Your whining is not going to give you the victory. Your complaining is not going to give you the victory. Your asking why is not going to give you the victory. It is your rejoicing. Someone say, my rejoicing. Your rejoicing is the number one thing. In that James chapter 1, it says, count it all joy. That means that it is not joyful, but I have to count it so. I have to count it so. I've said it in this church, I'll say it again. I believe one of the hallmarks of our victory in the times we are in now is this factor of joy, of praise, of thanksgiving. One of the strong hallmarks of our victory in these times is a factor of joy, of praise, of thanksgiving. When you read all through, especially in this book of Peter, and you see everywhere it comes across and talks to you about trials, what you will follow through with it is that rejoice. Here he said it. In 1 Peter chapter 1, he said it. He said, though you see him now, do you believe? And you rejoice with what? With joy unspeakable and full of glory. You do that. It is a necessary thing, my brother, my sister. In this time, for you to put down the end. That's why Paul said it. He says, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities. I will make my boast in the Lord. For wherein I am weak, then what? Am I strong? So when he said, I will glory in my family, he was not talking about that. I will make younger with this sickness. No, that's not what he's talking about. But in the place where that thing is happening, I will still rejoice. I will still rejoice. I will make my boast in the Lord. This is what will set you apart in this world, in these times. The world sees you go through trials. They see you go through, stuff. And you don't lose your joy. You don't lose your smile. You don't lose your praise. You don't lose your gratitude, your ability to give thanks to God. You are not losing it. You're still smiling. You're still praising God. But they know you are going through stuff. And they see you rejoice. They see you give thanks. They see you bless God. It's the major key. A major key. A major key. Are you listening to what I'm saying? A lot of people are aware of what my wife has been through in the last, 1 year or so. At the time, God told her, I want you to give me 1 hour of praise every night. So 12 midnight to 1 a.m., she will spend that time praising God. 12 midnight. She'll spend it praising God. I didn't join now. She did it by herself. But God told her that. And today, what some people said she had to have surgery for, she's walking without any pains. Is it talking like this? You think it's a small thing. When you see your wife cry on the bed because of pain, and she can't sleep because of pain. Oh my God. And then you yourself begin questioning your faith. Lord, what? I'm a faith man now. Why is this not working for her? It's not by whining. It's not by complaining. And you know what? We lengthen our stay in that trial. Because what we begin to do is whine and complain and murmur and grumble. You know what, people? You can shorten your own time because you are hearing now. And at first I can tell you it's not going to be the easiest thing that you do. But get into the swing of it. The second major thing that takes you through this time, let me give you the scripture and then make ref, you know, say what I'm going to say. I'm close with that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at what it says here. I want to even encourage you when you get home, that 1 Peter chapter 4, that we read verse 12, you can read it to the end. So I'm going to read just the last scripture there, verse 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him. How? How? In well-doing. As unto what? A faithful creator. Let them commit. Passion Translation says, so then those who suffer for following God's will should enfold their lives into the Creator who will never fail them and continue to always do what is right. Another translation, continue doing what is good. Continue doing what is good. You see, it is a time that people are facing stuff that they stop doing what they've been doing before. They've been coming to church before they stop. They've been giving their offerings and tithes before they stop. They've been faithful in things before God before they stop. Whatever good they are doing, they stop doing it thinking that it's, I don't know what, for what reason they do that, but they just stop. And they're saying, you know, hoping that somehow, they will come out of it. That's not the way this thing works. You have to continue doing the right thing. You have to continue doing good. That's how you're going to come out of this thing. It's not a backpedal. Get angry at God. Get angry at everybody. No. That's how we've been missing it. Get angry at people who are having testimonies. Because that's the kind of testimony you two want to have. And then you're angry that somebody else is having it. No. Are you listening to me? Keep doing the right thing. Keep at it. Keep blessing people. Pastor, you made reference to something. He says you have to keep it in love. That's it. Because love is what perfects the faith work. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I don't have time to show you that. Love is what perfects the faith work. So when my faith is being tried, what perfects it is the love work. Notice Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. When my faith is being tried, what perfects my faith is the love work. So keep doing good. Keep doing the right thing. Keep at it. And you realize that though the enemy can back, it can't bite you. Because Jesus has overcome him already. And that is why the fight is a good fight. That is why you will end up with a good report. This is how to do it, my brother, my sister. This is how to do it. This is what the faith life is all about. Putting the enemy where he belongs. Using the faith that God has put in you. It's not something that you can't do. It's something that every one of us can do. How? For he that is born of God overcometh the world. And what is it that overcomes the world? This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Hallelujah. Can you lift your hands and just are you going through stuff right now? Can you rejoice in the midst of it? Can you thank God? Can you? Whatever it is you're faced with now, can you thank God? Can you rejoice? Can you bless God in the midst of it? What are you being tried on? Can you rejoice? Can you thank Him? Can you bless God? Can you do so? David said, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him. 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 I will yet praise Him." Though the vines do not bring forth, and there is no animal in the stall, I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Come on now. 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 Can you praise Him? Can you rejoice in Him? Can you glorify Him? There is no temptation that takes you, but such as is common to man. But our God is faithful, who is able, who will not allow you to be tempted more than you are able, but who with the temptation make a way of escape. I will rejoice in you, my Father. Thank you, Lord. 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 Ay, 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 ay. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. Come on. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We're just reminiscing last night about the birth of our first son. First, the doctor says she can't conceive, and then she conceived. And then they said there is fibroid that is going to strangle the baby. I spoke to the fibroid, by 7 months when we're going to do the scan, the fibroid had disappeared. Then they said the baby was in a breech. I told the baby, just in case you don't know how to lie in your mother's womb, this is the way to lie. When it's delivery time, your head first, your leg up. Don't lie across your mom's womb. At delivery time, the baby was like that. Then the water broke, and doctor says, no, it's not the water, it's urine. And for 3 days, she lost water, and doctor kept saying, it's urine. Finally, a doctor allowed us to go outside the hospital to go and do this scan. And when the doctor saw her, he said, woman, what are you doing? The fluid in your womb is almost gone. You're putting this baby out. What are you doing? It wasn't our fault, the doctors. So we rushed her back to the hospital and they said, okay, they will induce her. And I had service that day. 1992, September. Friday, the 19th of September. Or 21st of September. No, 20th. Because it came out 12:02. And doctor said, so I went to do service, and God said, it was service of school of spiritual warfare. I said, Lord, what do I teach? He said, go and teach praise as a weapon of warfare. I heard it clearly. And then he said, before you go and teach it, demonstrate it. So after getting my notes out and preparing my notes, after I finished, I had to spend time praising God, thanking God, rejoicing in Him. We finished service. I rushed to the hospital. And he said, why are you here? The baby is not expected until the following morning. She is not coming. Go home and relax. So I left the place about 11 p.m. Went home. By the time I came the following morning, the baby had come 12:02. Who they said won't come? I'd come 12:02. But God told me, he said, go and you do it first. Rejoice in the midst of your trial. Rejoice in the place of your trial. And I rejoiced. I gave thanks to God. And what the doctor said would take hours to come. She was being induced. You know, inducement is pain. 12:02. That young man is standing here today. About to become a father himself. This thing works, people. It works. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Don't let the enemy tell you this thing don't work. Because we have more and more people who are capitulating now on their faith and trying to live as normal a life as possible. It's not going to work. Not in the times we are in. Because you have the name of the Lord on you. Are you listening to me? Lift your hands and just thank Him once again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. Are you blessed this morning?